Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and this is what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win in Edmonton.
Here's the key, all the way, scores! Did that just happen? Connor McDavid, coast to coast.
Well, hello there. Welcome back. It's been a long time, no talk, since the disappointment of the Edmonton Oilers' elimination from the Stanley Cup playoffs back in May. Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On NHL. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get your podcast. It's going to be a busy week. We've got the expansion draft on Wednesday. A lot of crazy names out there. Carey Price, Tarasenko, Jordan Eberle. There's some fantastic names left unprotected. We also got the draft on Friday. The Oilers picking 19th overall. We'll see what happens there. Will there be any moves? What's going on with Adam Larson? A lot of reports on that. And to break it all down, we will be joined by Tom Gazzola from the Oil Stream Podcast and TSN 1260, as we'll talk Larson, Cassian. A lot of rumors yesterday, especially coming from Saravalli, who dropped the DFO podcast late last night, and he had a lot of interesting stuff to say. Looks like Larson will hit the market. He also mentioned that the Oilers probably circle back on Tyson Barrie if they can get Adam Larson, which is very interesting. How comfortable are you with Barrie, Bear, and Bouchard on your right side if that is the case next year? The three Bs, let me know on Twitter. That is your question of the day. How confident would you be with the three Bs on the right side? I think it's a little risky. I think the Oilers definitely would maybe take a step back when it comes to their decor. Nothing against Bear and Bouchard and Barrie, but guys probably more offensive. I mean, Bear, not so much, but he's kind of in between there. Like, he's good defensively, he's good offensively, but I don't think he excels at one just yet. Bouchard obviously more offensive, Barrie of course more offensive, so it's quite risky. But we'll get into that with Tom. And then Zach Cassian, is there a market out there? It seems there is. So if you can get rid of that $3.2 million for the next 3 years, I think you have to do it. I know here in Edmonton we're in love with the fact that he's physical and he drops the mitts and he protects Connor McDavid, but has he really done that? How can you miss something that hasn't been there? Like, he hasn't brought that. I'm sorry, he hasn't. Outside of maybe 1-2 games this past season, he's been MIA since February of 2020. So for me, it's, yeah, like, and now the argument, well, fans will be back and he'll be better for it. Really? I think that's weak if he needs fans to get his game back. So, well, we'll find out. I mean, the freeze is on right now. Nothing can happen. But as soon as that freeze is lifted, look out. It's going to get interesting. And then Carey Price, man, what a story. Left unprotected. And you find out he's hurt, he's seen a specialist, he might require surgery, he might be out for a long time. But if you're the Kraken, can you pass up on Carey Price? People are like, how can they pass up on him? I'd say probably 10 million reasons why, because he's comes hefty, he is an older player. No, he was outstanding in the playoffs. He was just okay in the regular season. But yeah, I mean, I'll have it at 50-50 right now that I think they have to at least consider it, right? Like 10.5 for the next 5 years. But you get him and say you get a Chris Drieger, I mean, you're laughing. That's a hell of a goaltending duo you have there. So yeah, we'll wait and see. It's going to be fun. If you're living under a rock or you're just out and you put away a Twitter machine and you turned off the NHL news, I'll quickly fill you in. Of course, Duncan Keith. I don't want to revisit that. If you've heard me on TSN, I've already said my piece with that. Duncan Keith is an Edmonton Oilers. Caleb Jones heads the other way. Conditional pick. How about the buyout? Suter and Parise in Minnesota. Yandel in Florida. They also signed Gustav Forling to a three-year deal for worth $2.6 million. Duclair signs 3 years at $3 million per. Ryan Graves traded to the Devils for Mikhail Maltsev in a second-round pick in 2021. That's a defenseman that the Oilers have to start looking like. They didn't give up much. No, the Oilers don't have a second-round pick, which is the issue there. Nick Leddy traded to the Detroit Red Wings for Panic and a second round pick as well. Miro Heiskanen, an 8-year contract extension with the Dallas Stars with an AAV of 8.45. Alex Volkov signs a 1-year contract extension with the Anaheim Ducks. He is also left unprotected. We'll see if someone takes a flyer on this Russian guy. I mean, he's shown flashes. Got a Stanley Cup. Andrew Ladd traded with a second rounder in 2021, a second rounder in 2022, and a third rounder in 2023 to the Arizona Coyotes. No return. New York Rangers traded for the rights of Barclay Goodrow. Looks like they're close to signing as well. The big trade of the weekend was the Flyers acquire Ryan Ellis from the Preds in exchange for Nolan Patrick and Philip Myers. Then the Preds send Nolan Patrick to the Vegas Golden Knights for Cody Glass. The two young guys switching places there. Good for Cody Glass. He's a good player. He just too much depth on that Vegas team. He couldn't find himself as a regular in that lineup. So yeah, that was the big trade of the weekend. Jared McCann goes to the Leafs for Philip Hallander in his seventh. The Sharks acquire Aiden Hill, goaltender from the Arizona Coyotes. So yeah, it's a lot of action going on this weekend for the Freeze. It was a fun time, and this week is going to be just as good. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. The expansion draft's always fun. I know everybody's making their teams. Cap Friendly has a really cool little option there to play around with. And I know on the two guys on the goalie, we're going to draft the Seattle Kraken team today. So a lot of fun. Again, let me know what you think of the three Bs on the right side, Barry, Bear, Bouchard, if that is the case. Should the Kraken take Carey Price? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And yeah, what's up with your teams? How much cap space did you have left? Or did you go over the cap? And who are the Oilers going to lose? We'll get to all that with our good buddy Tommy Gazzola coming up in the next segment. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Good to be back. Thank you for the downloads. The podcast continues to do well, even though I haven't done one in quite some time. But we'll be on, we'll try to be on every day this week with all the news. And if the Oilers obviously sign, trade, and obviously who they draft, we'll be on and breaking it all down for you here. Once again, hit me up on Twitter at HernandeMan and at Locked On Oilers. Up next, it's Tommy G from TSN 1260. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. Know what my favorite flavor is? It's cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code grasshopper15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code grasshopper15 for 50% off at builtbar.com. To bring in Tom Gazzola from TSN 1260 and the Oil Stream podcast with Dustin Nielsen. Tommy, this week and next week are sure to be busy and fun when it comes to the NHL. We got expansion this week. We got the draft, and then free agency kicks off next week. Let's kick it off with some Oiler talk. Last night on the DFO podcast, Frank Saravalli, you're seeing Rashog tweet out today that looks like Adam Larson might be hitting the market. Saravalli did allude to the fact that if that is the case, that the Oilers are going to circle back on Tyson Barry. I guess, Tommy, just your thoughts on everything we're hearing on Larson. And I know you're a Barry guy and I'm a Barry guy and we'd be totally okay with that. But just your thoughts on that. And if you're hearing anything that you can add to the what's going on with Adam Larson and his free agency.
Shouldn't be too surprised that Larson wants to see mm-hmm. what's out there and test free agency. The interesting thing, and it's fun to watch the reaction, because you know people might jump from one conclusion to another and go, well, he's as good as gone. If Frank says it's less than 50%, they're retaining him, then he must be gone. That's not necessarily the case. And Rashog tweeted some stuff out today where he kind of outlined that there's a process. And the one thing that I like that Rashog pointed out about Adam Larson is that he's methodical. He's very thoughtful. He looks at everything. And that's a little bit different than some other hockey players, or maybe the majority of hockey players. But even when you talk to Adam Larson, you can see the wheels are turning in his mind and he wants to say the right thing, do the right thing. And he takes that extra second to get out the right message that he'd like to convey. And I think that's just a microcosm of the person and his personality in general. And so he made the statement on Garbage Bag Day that he loves it here. He wants to be here and he, you know, would be happy to sign back here, you know? And I think a lot of us, myself included, just assumed, well, that means it'll probably get done. But then you take a step back, you're like, okay, well, he's got an opportunity here to see what the market is like for him. He might be offered a little bit more money, go to a new setting, and you know, you could take the money sometimes and run, and you could fade off into hockey obscurity. Yes, you make a couple extra million more over the course of that contract, hypothetically. Or you could come back to where you've built up a great rapport, you're a leader in the locker room, and you might not get as much. And then it might lead to more fruitful opportunities further down the road because you build up this legacy and this rapport. That's a possibility too. So is it kind of unnerving that he might be willing to go to free agency and see what's out there? Yeah, sure, absolutely. And would it weaken the Oilers' blue line, especially defensively, if he would walk? 100%. But I think, and I've kind of touched on it a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of sniffed around and saw what's out there. But, you know, there's no place like home, and I think he feels like this is home. So we'll see. Unless there's an offer that just really blows his socks off and he can't refuse it, I'm sure, at least this is my gut, Hernan, is that he'll see the offers, he'll listen, entertain them, and then hear what the Oilers have to say and what they table towards him, and maybe he comes back to Edmonton. But this is also a part of the game, you know, the negotiation process, and he's trying to leverage himself maybe for a little bit more money with the Edmonton Oilers, and that's fine too. He's been in the league for a long time. He's earned that right, and I think this is part of the process. So we'll see what happens. Is it 100% certain he's leaving? No. Is it 100% certain he's coming back? Is it closer to what Frank thinks is 50-50? Yeah, probably. So, or less than 50%? Yeah. I think it's probably more than 50% he comes back, but who knows? That's just me going on a hunch. That's not me digging in and trying to find out the inner workings. The Oilers clearly want him. He's comfortable here. We'll see where it goes. Crazy things are about to happen this week, Hernan, and we'll see where Adam Larson decides to continue his hockey future.
I don't think anyone's upset with that. I mean, he's earned the right to kind of, you know, check the market and see what's out there. And as a guy that he's heading into his 30s here, eventually he probably wants to secure that long-term one. If I told you the right side of the Edmonton Oilers was Tyson Barrie, Ethan Bear, Evan Bouchard, listen, I don't mind that, Tom. I think Tyson Barrie was excellent this past season, but you alluded to it, you lose a lot defensively with not bringing Larson back. All three guys probably more offensive than defensive, but what do you make of that right side if that is the case here going forward?
I would be concerned. I would be concerned defensively with that right side, 100%. I'm not even willing to say Ethan Bear is an offensive defenseman at this point, Nanso. He's a work in progress offensively. He has some flashes. And I'd say he's probably slightly better defensively than he is offensively. By no means is he a finished product defensively. And so if it were Bear, Barrie, Bouchard on that right side, I would go, uh-oh, that's where other teams are going to attack the Oilers. And sure, they might have offensive punch, especially with Barrie, who led the NHL in defensive scoring or defenseman scoring. And Bouchard, who has a lot of upside. But Hernan, there's going to be peaks and valleys with Bouchard if he's an everyday player this year. He has not played a ton in the National Hockey League. Last year, you know, he was a full-time roster player, but he didn't play much. What did he play? 14 games. Bear is still work in progress. And then Barrie, obviously, I think he's better than he gets credit for defensively, but he's by no means a stud on the back end within his blue line down to the goal line. And so I would think that that might be a very big point of weakness on the blue line. If that were the trio to be coming back, I would think they'd have to go out and sign a steady right shot, right side defenseman that is more stay at home to maybe bring a little more balance to that right side of the blue line. If they were to go down that road, I like Tyson Barrie. I think he brings a lot to the table. Obviously the power play was tremendous. So I think it would be a loss. I think the best scenario, if you wanted to be comfortable, would probably be Bear, Bouchard, Barrie, and Larson, with Bouchard being the seventh man rotating in with Bear or Barry or Larson, whoever is hurt, if that happens, because inevitably, you know, guys get nicked up. I think those four with Larson in the mix would be the best optimal situation in a tough time when, you know, free agency is going to be bonkers and weird. Guys are going to get squeezed out. There's not a lot of money to be thrown around with the frozen cap and the flat cap. So it's going to be interesting, but yeah, that would be a bit of a red flag. And I think teams would key on that red right side if that were the trio to be coming back in Bear, Barry, and Bouchard. Who knows what happens? We'll see.
Yeah, a lot of time here and a lot of things to happen. A lot of balls in the air for the Edmonton Oilers. Definitely interesting times when it comes to their D unit. Frank Saravalli also added on the podcast that Zach Cassian, that there's interest in him. And he also said that you don't leave players unprotected that you want to trade. Now, with Zach Cassian's interesting. He's at 3.2 Tom for the next 3 years. And everybody keeps saying, and you see it, you work at the station, you see the inbox. It's kind of split. It's kind of like they should have left him unprotected. Zach Cassian is not the same. And there's the other ones that say, you know what, guys, he protects Connor McDavid. He brings that physicality. And it's nice to say those things, but those things haven't been there in his game. What do you think on the interest on Zach Cassian?
I wouldn't be too surprised, but here's the thing is, of course, there's interest in a guy like Zach Cassian. Mm-hmm. He has so many tantalizing assets that I think 32 teams would be interested in having Zach Cassian, including the Edmonton Oilers. It's just which Zach Cassian is going to show up.
Yeah.
Which Zach Cassian is going to show up. And for the last year and a half, since probably January 2020, Zach Cassian has rarely made an appearance. And the true Zach Cassian that's a game changer has only peeked his head out every now and then. After he got that contract from the Oilers, which he earned, by the way, by playing very well, continuing to put up career numbers, continuing to be a physical presence, he became a shell of himself. And I don't know if it had to do with injuries or just he got comfortable and relaxed into a groove of some sort where he didn't feel the need to play on the edge like he was before, where it created his identity. But the most effective Zach Cassian is the guy that's the wild man with the crazy eyes, and that's what tantalizes every team in the National Hockey League. This guy has size, skill, speed, strength, and that X factor that is that wild man mentality. And when he's on, look out. But when he's not, he's a ghost out there. And unfortunately, over the last year and a half, that's what we've seen. And I think that's probably why the Oilers would entertain trade proposals on Zach Cassian. I think they're a better team with him. Depends what you get back for him. You lose some physical presence again when he brings it on a night-to-night basis. Most nights he hasn't lately. So it's interesting. We'll see where it goes. And I think, too, now the Oilers are in money management where they want to see how they distribute their whatever they have left cap-wise because they need to improve their left side. They need to get that third line center. And if there's ways where they can bring in some players they feel are more effective, fill that need, and they can get some grit, size, and strength by flipping a Zach Cassian, then absolutely they'll explore that option. So it shouldn't be too surprising. You just hope that if he does come back next season in orange and blue, he's playing the way he did prior to January 2020, where he was hungry, taking the puck to the net, scoring greasy goals, being a physical presence, because we haven't seen that guy in too long.
Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Tommy G joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast on what is going to be a busy week in the NHL with expansion and the draft coming up. The Oilers have the 19th overall pick on Friday. And Tommy, you and I will be along with Low Tide on draft coverage at TSN 1260. Make sure to tune into that at 6 o'clock on Friday. Tommy, looking at expansion, I mean, this is so much fun. Just kind of guessing on what Seattle's going to do. There's some fascinating names that were left unprotected. The biggest ones, Carey Price, now reports yesterday that he's hurt, that he's going to see a specialist, that he might need surgery. What do you make of all this Carey Price stuff? And is Seattle going to go there? And like, what percentage do you put on that when all this Carey Price news?
Craziness, first of all. And yeah. I think that Seattle should absolutely take Carey Price. Okay, maybe he needs some surgeries. Maybe he does come with a big price tag. But this is Carey Price we're talking about. And you have an opportunity to just pluck him. Mm-hmm. I go for it. I mean, with all due respect to the other goalies who are available, Ben Bishop, Chris Drieger, who, you know, there's been a lot of talk about him potentially going to the Seattle Kraken. Like, those guys are not Carey Price. Carey Price is Carey Price. Like, this is a future Hall of Famer here. So I think you go and you get Carey Price. You give him the time he needs to recuperate, do the surgeries, whatever. But if you feel he has 5 good years left, it's no different than when the Vegas Golden Knights selected Marc-Andre Fleury. You do it. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. And I think this was super risky by Marc Bergevin and the Montreal Canadiens. Calculated, whatever. I saw that and I'm like, you have to take him. You have to, unless he's going to retire, which I don't think he will. It's crazy to see some of the names that are being popped up there. But Nanso, I'm sorry, you take Carey Price, and Montreal may have just made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I know that the contract is scary, but like, when you can start your team, and even if he's out for the first 4 or 5 months, Tom, I mean, you're going to get a goaltender that's tops in the league, and he just took his team to the Stanley Cup final. So it's going to be interesting to see. One other name, and I know here it's been discussed a lot, Vladimir Tarasenko, also left unprotected, 2 more years at just over $7 million. Is this a guy that ends up in Seattle? Listen, there's a lot of good players left out there, Jordan Eberle, but they all come with some significant money on their contracts. Seattle can build a good team, but I think they've also been saying the thing we're looking at is cap space, and they don't want to go too crazy. But do you see a guy like Tarasenko getting claimed here?
I would take him too. Obviously, it's risky, but if he feels good and the shoulder's healed well and he feels like it's close to 100% and he can shoot the puck the way he's used to and there's no discomfort, they're going to get the medical reports. That's a big thing that we've seen too over the last few days is other GMs are complaining because the Kraken get the medical reports. And listen, like, obviously these GMs are trying to be protective, but get over it. Seriously. yeah. If he's got a clean bill of health, I would take him. Like, you have a real opportunity here to build a team in your first few years with some true star power, some true pillars in the prime of their careers. And if you want to hit the ground running and you don't want to be a bottom feeder, you got to take some of these guys. And yes, you got to be smart with cap management and all of that. Totally understandable. But you're going to have to take some superstars here to want to contend or be in the mix or be a team in the Pacific that's shaping up to probably be, at least from the outset, looking like one of the weakest divisions in hockey. Take these guys. If you feel that you're comfortable with where they're at medically, go for it. So, yeah, I would absolutely take Vladimir Tarasenko if it's all good. Great pillar to build on. Man, they have such an opportunity here in Seattle to build a respectable team right out of the gates that I would definitely go for it. Guy like Jordan Eberle, why not? I mean, he's got playoff pedigree now. He's been in the league for a long time. He's been a very good player in a long time. For a long time in the National Hockey League. He costs you $5.5 million. You're going to need guys like that. Nanso, I would take Mark Giordano. He's a couple years removed from a Norris Trophy. Like, I would take him. Sorry, Calgary. Yeah. Like, this is still a very good, effective defenseman. Leadership in the room, character, things like that to guide this ship, for a lack of a better term. Apologies for the pun, but... Yeah, like, there's a phenomenal opportunity. I guarantee you that Ron Francis, Ricky Olczyk, and Jason Botterill are just salivating at this list of players they could choose from. It's fantastic. You're going to have a respectable team on paper to start the year, unless they go completely off the board and think that they're smarter than everybody. Then it's, look out, because it could be trouble. But there's a real chance here. Again, I'll say it one last time. They could have a solid team this year.
Tommy, one last one for you. I and no disrespect to the Edmonton Oilers, but one of the least sexy lists is probably the Edmonton one. Who are the Oilers losing in your eyes?
Hey, you say that like it's a bad thing. That's a good thing.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But yeah. Seattle's probably looking at it and being like, well, there's probably only maybe three guys that we're considering. I mean, I think Chris Russell would be a consideration. I think Jujhar Khaira. And I also think Tyler Benson would definitely pique their interest.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where it's like, I don't know who they're going to take. I mean, they can go either way here, but what are you thinking on the Edmonton Oilers here? And like you said, because last time, I mean, they lost Griffin Reinhart, who we all know how that ended up, and the Oilers didn't lose much. So it is a good thing.
Yeah. It is good that you don't have Griffin Reinhart, by the way, never played a game for the Vegas Golden Knights outside of the preseason. So if I'm putting myself in the shoes of Ron Francis and the staff there, I'd look at the Oilers list and I'd probably take Tyler Benson. If you want to build a solid team, not just right now, but have a solid player in your middle six, bottom six for a few years, at least a little while, his career is just starting. He's done nothing wrong. He did everything he was asked to do at the AHL level. If he hadn't been stuck in Bakersfield due to COVID, guaranteed, Hernan, he would have been playing games with the Oilers. Ryan McLeod got the call because there was injuries. They needed centermen, and Benson's not that. So I would go the route of Tyler Benson. Unless they don't like their defense and the way it's shaping up, then they might look at Chris Russell. And I know Jujhar Khaira's name popped up there. But with Khaira, just like with Benson, there's some question marks there. It's like, what Jujhar Khaira are you going to get? Are you going to get the guy that played well for longer stretches this past season until he suffered some head injuries? Or you get the Jujhar Khaira that just flies under the radar and only pops up every now and then, like we've seen sporadically over the course of the last 5-6 seasons. So I like the idea of Tyler Benson. If I was Seattle, I'd go that route. But if they are short of affordable centerman that could kill penalties, then maybe they look at Jujhar Khaira. But to me, the most enticing of the group is definitely Tyler Benson.
Great stuff, Tommy. Like always, you always have some great stuff on the Edmonton Oilers. Again, this week is going to be absolutely crazy. You and I will be on the draft coverage with Low Tide on Friday at TSN 1260, pick 19th overall. Tommy, like always, thanks so much for your time. We'll be talking throughout this week. Enjoy your Monday, buddy, and thanks again.
Sounds good, Nanso. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, that was Tommy G breaking it all down with me. Cassian, Larson, Barry, Carey Price, Tarasenko. Who are the Oilers going to lose in the draft? I'm kind of high on Tyler Benson. I'm kind of with Mr. Tommy Gazzola there as well. Jujhar Khaira is an interesting name. I know a lot of the media has him as a possibility. And Chris Russell, I mean, I don't really see it. He'd be a good veteran guy for that team. I just don't see Seattle going in that direction. But you never know. Again, the Oilers are not losing a big name. I know a lot of people are up in arms about Tyler Benson, but come on, let's pump the brakes. This guy, we don't even know if he's an NHLer yet. He's had good AHL numbers, but sometimes that doesn't translate to NHL success. So is it Khaira, is it Benson, or is it Chris Russell or someone else? Who knows? But the Edmonton Oilers set to lose someone on Wednesday, and we'll find out who that is. Well, we'll be back tomorrow as well, teeing up more of the expansion draft and the upcoming draft and all the rumors from the insiders breaking it down here. Lots on Adam Larson, lots on Tyson Barry, and will Mr. Zach Cassian be on the move? It's going to be a fun week, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. Keep those downloads coming. Remember to hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. But before we do that, betting on the MLB doesn't have to be a guess. guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. It's good to be back. It's good to chat. Download the episode. Give me your feedback, and we'll be back tomorrow for the Locked On Oilers podcast and my producer, Juanito. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Stay safe. We'll chat tomorrow.